I was a kid, I went to Chapel Elementary School. Chapel Elementary School was located right on the old Santa Fe Trail in Raytown, Missouri. And I thought the school must have been there in existence when the pioneers first came through. It was an old building. It was probably built somewhere in the 1920s or 1930s. Mr. Brown was the principal of Chapel Elementary School. Now, there was a little attitude situation when I was a kid, and you know, if you ever get in trouble, what if a teacher can't handle it, what do? They send you to the principal's office, and I was in no rush to get personally acquainted with Mr. Brown. As far as I was concerned, visiting Mr. Brown in the principal's office was kind of like Judgment Day. It was not a day that we looked forward to. I did not look forward to having to sit down with Mr. Brown and defend my actions. Illustration number two. I don't know if you're like me, but occasionally I have found myself disobeying some of the traffic laws in this fair state as well as others. Have any of you been in that mode? Have any of you been caught in that mode? Then you know what it's like when you get pulled over and get to meet the man with the badge. And you're hoping and praying for just a warning, but then he gives you this ticket. And then you have a choice. You either plead guilty, i.e. you write the check and send it in, or you decide that you're going to appear in court before the judge and defend yourself while the policeman accuses you. That's another judgment day. We all recognize that we have judgment days in our lives. This morning we're going to talk about an eternal judgment day. A judgment day before the God of the universe, our Creator, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a difficult subject. There are a lot of heavy topics in Scripture. This is probably one of the heaviest. Because of our responsibility in meeting God, the Bible teaches of a day of judgment. In Revelation, the Bible says it this way. I had it marked. My marker disappeared. There it is. We find in Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. The death and Hades gave up the death that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he too was thrown into the lake of fire. There are a lot of heavy responsibilities in life. There are a lot of heavy things to face. But I think Daniel Webster, and yes, it's that Daniel Webster, the dictionary guy, had this to say. The most important thought that ever occupied my mind is my individual responsibility to God. Daniel Webster lived a long time ago. You probably know he was a great politician with the Whig Party. That's been long gone in America. He even ran for president one time. But we remember him because he wrote a dictionary. I would like you to remember him for these words. Let me say them one more time. The most important thought that ever occupied my mind is that of my individual responsibility to God. Brothers and sisters, those are heavy words. Those are difficult words, but they're true words. Because the Bible teaches a day of judgment. The Bible teaches that there is a great day coming, a day of judgment. There is an eternal day of judgment. You know, life is not fair. And we kind of understand that, don't we? When we're young, we want life to be fair. We want to be able to get what we deserve, except when we do bad. Then we'd like not to get what we deserve, right? But we kind of want life to give us a fair shake. And most of the time it does pretty well, but life is not always fair, is it? Sometimes you do someone good and you're treated wrong. Sometimes you smile at somebody and they scowl back. You know, that's life, isn't it? And we deal with that. But some of the hurts are far deeper and far more difficult to deal with. Life is not always fair. And because life is not always fair is a philosophical reason why there must be an eternal day of judgment. The problem is I'm too anxious to take judgment into my own hands. If I don't feel like I'm being treated fairly, then I want to take care of things. Thank you very much. The Bible teaches us not to take vengeance into our hands, but to leave it to God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says who? The Lord, Romans chapter 12. So judgment is a philosophical necessity because we know that life is not always fair and there needs to be some evening of accounts in eternity. The point is we live and allow God to even the accounts and not take it into our own hands. Now, Daniel Webster knew the truth of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him from things done in the body, whether good or bad. Let me say that one more time. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one will receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The Bible teaches that I am answerable to God, that I have a responsibility to God. You know, breaking God's law is kind of like breaking the law of gravity. Can you break the law of gravity? No, but you can be broken by it, right? You know, you can jump off of a cliff if you'd like, but you're not going to break the law of gravity. You're not going to find yourself flying up in the air when you jump off the cliff, but you can easily be broken by laws. And we can be broken by God's laws, but we're not going to break God's laws. And God's laws are very clear. The wages of sin are death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to look at Paul's statement again, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of God, and think about that for a moment. Judgment is not optional. Notice what it says, we must all appear. We don't have a choice. We're like that arrested criminal. He's going to appear before the judge. If he's in jail, he's going to be brought before the judge. He has no choice. He's going to have his day in court, whether he likes it or not. The atheist will stand before his Creator. The agnostic will stand before God. The non-Christian will stand before the Lord. And Philippians chapter 2 says it this way, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In eternity, do you know there are going to be non-believers? Everyone will be a believer in God. Everyone will be a believer in Jesus. Not all will be saved, but everyone will be a believer. The Bible teaches the day is coming, a judgment day, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You know, sometimes we get an invitation that's, shall we say, optional. I got an invitation from AT&T in the mail this week. You know, they wanted me to sign up for their internet service or whatever. Well, that kind of went into file 13 in a hurry. I disregarded the invitation. Maybe you get an invitation to a wedding, but it's from someone you barely know and you're really not excited about going, so you disregard the invitation. There are some invitations that you cannot ignore. You get a subpoena for court, you can't ignore that, or they're going to come and arrest you. The invitation to God's Day of Judgment is not one we can ignore. We will be there. If you don't want to go to the dentist, you can find a way to get out of it. If you don't want to go to the doctor, you'll probably find a way to say no. But there's no way for me to say no to meeting God in judgment. Paul says not only we must all appear before the judgment seat of God, we must appear before the judgment seat of God. We are answerable to our Creator. You know, some folks will not answer to their superiors. Well, I'm not going to say anything about that. I'm not going to talk to the boss. I'm not going to talk to the teacher. I'm not going to talk to the principal. I'm just going to sit there. You've experienced that attitude, some people, haven't you? Doesn't work with God. Doesn't fly with God. We're all answerable before God. We cannot escape it, and we must all be there, and we are before the judgment seat of God. You know, you might be able to fool your parents for a while. When I was growing up, I thought I fooled my parents about a few things. Not so good. Not so good. On the day of judgment, you cannot out and out know God. On the day of judgment, you cannot outthink God. On the day of judgment, you cannot out-argue God. The day of judgment is a day of ultimate truth. And the day of judgment won't do you any good to compare yourself with somebody else and say, well, you know, compared to my brother over here, I'm really pretty good. You know, I'm no axe murderer, God. You know, I'm not really that bad. I just did a little of this, a little of that. And, you know, Lord, you know, I'm really just as good as the next guy. That doesn't wash before the eternal God of heaven. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 says it this way, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I hope there's some things that my mom and dad never discovered that I did. Maybe you got a list like that too. Not real proud of some of those things, but I did them. Most of us have done them. But there's nothing that we hide from God. There's nothing that we hide from Him. In our hearts, we know the truth that we've sinned and fallen short of His glory. We know that the wages of sin is death, it's spiritual destruction, it's eternity away from God. But the good news is the gospel. Because Romans 6 says the free gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus my Lord. Do you like a free pass? You know, did you play Monopoly when you were a kid? I hoarded those get out of jail free cards. You know why? Because I knew I was going to end up in jail in Monopoly. So if I got one of those cards, you know, I slipped it under, I kept it. I wanted to keep that get out of jail free card. It was a free pass. The gospel of Christ is, in a sense, a free pass, not to continue to sin, but a free pass to forgive us of the sins that we bear before God. That's what the gospel is about. And that's why it's called good news, is because it's God slipping us a free pass and saying, the blood of my Son will cover you. It will forgive you. You don't have to stand before me in judgment because you have trusted in the blood of my Son, Jesus. Now, we may have different reactions to the biblical truth of the gospel, of judgment. You know, some of us may be a little bit like that ostrich. Well, judgment day, I don't want to even think about that. I'm just going to bury my head in the sand. I'm just not going to forget about it. I'm just going to hope for the best. I'm just going to ignore it, and I'll deal with it when I get there. Not a very wise thing to do. The other option is to depend upon the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our guilt and sin so we can stand before God, not because we're perfect, but because of the blood of Jesus has cleansed us and purified us and forgiven us of our sins. I don't want to be an ostrich on the day of judgment, having my head in the sand and just hoping it's all going to be all okay. By the way, God has promised a day of judgment, right? If God has promised, let me ask you this, how many of God's promises don't come true? Did God promise a flood in Noah's day? Did it happen? Did God promise a son to Abraham in his old age? Did he get one? Did God promise a new land to his people of Israel? Did they receive the promised land? Did God promise a Messiah? Yes, praise God. Did God promise to send his Holy Spirit? Yes. If you want to bank on the day of judgment never happening, good luck with that. God's promises come true. So the option for me is to let Jesus cover my sin. I don't have another way. I can't be good enough. I can't be perfect. I can't stand before God and say, well, you know, God, I'm really just as good as the next guy. That's not the question. God says, how are you in comparison to my holiness? In the words of Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. On the cross, Jesus bore my sin. We celebrated the Lord's Supper a few moments ago. We were celebrating the fact that Jesus, in bearing his body on that cross and giving his blood on that cross, paid the price for my sin before God. So I am forgiven by that blood of Jesus. And we celebrated that feast together in remembrance of the price that was paid for our freedom and for our forgiveness. So really, when it comes down to the judgment, I have two choices. I can play ostrich, or I can choose the blood of Jesus. My friends, most of you have chosen the blood of Jesus. I praise God for that. And if you haven't chosen the blood of Jesus, you need to. So how do we get the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus? Well, the Lord wants everyone to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Did you know God doesn't want anyone in hell? He doesn't want anyone to be with Satan and his angels. He wants everyone to be with Him. But God is too kind to force us into an eternal destiny with Him without us choosing it. You see, if God forced us into heaven, He'd be a cosmic kidnapper. You want to live with a kidnapper forever? You might be kidnapped and go in to live in luxury, but would that really be right? No. You need to choose to go there. God has given us the opportunity to choose to follow Him, to make the choice of being with Him forever in heaven versus apart from here forever in eternal punishment. But God's too good to be a cosmic kidnapper and take you to heaven against your will. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to eternal life, to repentance. We let Jesus cover our sins when we put our faith in Him. When we turn spiritually in repentance, a heart that says, I've been following my own way, and now, Lord, I'm going to follow Your way. I know I'm not going to be perfect, but Lord, I'm going to try to follow the way of righteousness instead of the way of sin. And then we're baptized. We're immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. Biblical baptism is simply being immersed in water, like the Bible says, where our sins are washed away, we're forgiven, we are saved. As a Christian, I'm continually forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And that's why I do not worry about the day of judgment. Because in God's book of life, my name is there, I've become a Christian, and I'm walking in the light. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means I'm walking in the way of Jesus. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. As we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus does what? It purifies us from all sin. If you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about the day of judgment as long as you're walking in Jesus, as long as you're abiding in Him, as long as you're walking faithfully. I didn't say perfectly, faithfully in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus will continue to forgive you of your sin. That's the joy of being a Christian. It's to know that we have assurance in eternity. The day of judgment will not be a problem for us. Now, there are two big reasons, and many more, but I'm going to make it only two. If you're not in Christ, you need to get in Christ, and you need to do it now. The first is the longer you put off Jesus, the longer you say no to Jesus, the harder it is to say yes to Jesus. Becoming a Christian, being baptized into Christ, is easier in your early teens than your late teens. It's easier in your teens than your 20s. It's easier in your 20s than your 30s. It's easier in your 30s than your 40s. You get the idea? There are fewer people that submit to Christ late in life than submit to Christ earlier in life. That's just statistics. Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, before the bad days come. Turn to Christ early in your life. But the second reason you need to become a Christian and do it soon, do it today, is this. No one knows how long they're going to live or when the Lord's coming back. We don't know how much opportunity we have. You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus that Jesus told? The rich man wasn't too good on earth, and he lifted up his eyes and he was in torment. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom in eternity. And the rich man quickly sized up the situation and realized there was no changing the destiny. So he started saying, hey, send somebody to my brothers. Warn them not to come to this place of torment. And the word was, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. we would say they've got the Bible, they've got the gospel, they've got the message. They just need to follow it. Brothers and sisters, we don't know how long we have on this earth. We don't know if we're going to be in eternity in 2 days, 2 seconds, or 22 years, or 44 years. We don't know. We just know eventually we're all going to be before God. I cannot stand before the God of the universe in judgment apart from the blood of Christ. My face cannot face Him. I cannot stand before God in judgment apart from the blood of Jesus. And that's one reason we become Christians. And yes, there is a fear motivation in becoming a Christian as well as a love motivation in becoming a Christian. We don't know how long we have. We need to act when time and opportunity are ours. Again, I read the words from Revelation 20 that I read at the beginning of the sermon. I'm bookending this lesson with this reading one more time. John writes, "I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. There is a great day coming. There is a day of judgment. There is a day that we stand before God. I can only stand there with the blood of Jesus." In 1 John chapter 2, we read these words. "I write this to you so that you will not sin." That's the ideal. "But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins." On the day of judgment, I want no defense attorney except Jesus. If I've got Him and His blood, I'm covered. And I'm not worried about eternity. Not because I'm perfect, but because I'm forgiven. And if you have not been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, if you've not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, make the decision while you have time and opportunity. Make it this morning. Let's stand and let's sing.